Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I gotta catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of new people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime. You know, socially. Go ahead, kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
The Fan.
Let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Thanks for being part of our Tuesday, everybody. Your day's going well. Got the World Series starting tonight. I'm all fired up for that. Game one, Dodgers and Rays. Get to the poll questions here in a little bit. Mail sack as well, coming up in about 13 minutes. But I wanted to get to and start the final hour here with some college football notes, if you will. Because there's a handful of things going on around the country right now. And I will start with a situation that looks like it's not going very well. So we told you last week, a lot of attention was on Florida and what was going on because they came out, Dan Mullen did, with the comments of we should pack the stadium, said we're doing great, and then all of a sudden all of his players, it seemed like, had COVID and they had to cancel their game against LSU.
Said they were doing great and he wanted their stadium to be packed to the brim for LSU.
And then 19 players, I believe the number was, 19 players had tested positive. And then Dan Mullen himself over the weekend tested positive. Well, a report came out a couple hours ago that now the total number of players currently with a positive test at Florida is up to 31. And that 31 does not include Mullen, the other coaches, staff, and trainers. So there are currently at the Florida football program more than 50 people, players, coaches, staff, that are in quarantine, 31 of them that have a positive test. That's not good. That's not where you want to be. And we mentioned this with the SEC last week, that they have the ability, because of that 1 week in between the conference championship and the last week of the season, they have that 1 week where they can schedule a filler game.
Mm-hmm.
So Florida LSU will be playing on December 12th. If you are to miss this week's game, which if you got 31 guys right now,
doesn't seem like it's possible right now.
I don't see how you quite pull that off. Although Nick Saban ended up coaching, it is the SEC. If you miss your game this weekend, I don't quite know where you go from there.
Well, I think you're just getting closer and closer for some of these programs to have to cancel. And you just, again, go to some programs will play, I think the SEC's 10, you're to play 10, or some will play 9 or 8 or whatever they end up doing. I think this is just another day, another, okay, good for us in the Pac-12. And it's not to say we won't have any COVID. Kevin Sumlin had COVID. Chip Kelly had COVID. It's more, though, I think them and the Big Ten have done such an exceptional job. And they released their health guidelines yesterday. We didn't really get into that because, it's health guidelines. It's kind of boring. But it feels like right now, and hold me to this in 2 months or a month and a half, it just feels like they're going to end up doing this the right way and get through their 7 games. Again, you're relying on college students to make good decisions outside of the facilities, but you see so many programs that are either canceling or postponing these games. Florida having a massive outbreak. Baylor was dealing with a massive outbreak. I need to check and see what they're doing, but I think the Pac-12 set themselves up well. They also weren't the first ones, so they got to see how all these other conferences were going to navigate through COVID. And as you're asking there with Florida didn't play their game this weekend. Are they postponing that, or are they just going to say, you know what, we don't have enough time for all of them, we're going to play 9? And then let me follow that up. How is any team in the SEC that's a contender going to feel if Florida only has to play 9 and they all play 10.
Yeah, so this is, I don't know if this is built into the schedule initially because I just pulled up to see who they play this week. Their next game is against Missouri on Halloween, so I'm not sure if that was built in initially, but they don't have a game scheduled for this weekend or if they'd already moved other things around and just maybe they'd given an early season bye week. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. So their next game is not until Halloween, so they at least do get that benefit to have currently 31 players that are in quarantine. But the fact remains that you don't have that other weekend of wiggle room because they're going to be unable to play this weekend. And clearly that 12th weekend in December has already been filled. So, yeah, that is going to be a looming issue. And it always has been, I think, the main concern in football is if you have a division winner that is decided by winning percentage. Like, just use Georgia as an example. If Florida ends up beating Georgia somehow, they obviously would have the head-to-head, but you could be in a situation where each would have two conference losses and, you know, winning percentages, that kind of stuff, because they don't play the same number of games throughout the course of the year, could end up deciding it. So something to keep an eye on. The other note, and we're not going to pay that close of attention to it, there was already a game in the Mountain West that has been canceled. New Mexico was supposed to open up this week against Colorado State. That game will not happen. For a variety of reasons, Colorado State looks like it's down a bunch of players currently, and so they have been unable to fully practice. New Mexico has also been dealing with practice issues, and I saw one other tweet from a guy I follow in Vegas who said that there are certain COVID-safe practices and guidelines that are going on between these two teams that make them believe it will not be fixed by New Mexico's October 31st game against San Jose State. Mm. So now there is the threat that New Mexico's first game has already been canceled, and that there's a likelihood that their second game against San Jose State could get canceled as well, which will be played on Halloween weekend. So that's where we're at with the Mountain West.
Well, the Mountain West kind of did that to themselves, though, didn't they?
That's been a weird one for me.
That quick turnaround of, we're not going to play, and then everybody else started playing, and then they went, oh, okay, we'll play. And we're going to play in 3 weeks. And you're
right.
You guys don't want to push it an extra week. You're not really competing for a national championship on the college football playoff level.
They should have been on the Pac-12 timeline.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I didn't understand their rhyme or reason for wanting to start as quick as they did.
Yeah. One actual football note, Adrian Martinez, named starter at Nebraska, catch the fever. Do they lose by 30 or 40 this week to Ohio State?
Was that up for debate?
It was up for debate. They got a McCaffrey up in the mix.
Oh, he transferred from Michigan.
If it's the brother that transferred. Is that him? I just know that I saw the last name. It said McCaffrey. And
McCaffrey?
I think there's like 800 McCaffreys out there. They're just all great football players.
Ooh, more athletic, the Watts clan or the McCaffrey clan?
Ooh.
Well, I guess you got to go Watts. They got three bros in the NFL.
Yeah, let me pull it up to see which McCaffrey it is.
Yeah, because that was kind of a shocking little development. If you didn't follow, Michigan was hearing that the McCaffrey quarterback was transferring from Harbaugh.
Right.
Because he was supposed to be potentially, you know, the 4-5-star kid that Harbaugh landed.
Luke McCaffrey.
Oh, the other one I think is Dylan.
Yeah, I think Luke McCaffrey is a new entrant. He's a dual threat quarterback from Littleton, Colorado.
So you're the only one that could answer this because it's your family. If they win two games, they're absolutely going to get a bowl invite because it's Nebraska.
You take that invite, baby.
Is your family then like, is the hot seat not as hot for Frost if they only win two and go to a bowl and, let's say, win it?
I don't know how anybody's going to feel in a year like this, man.
Not that you're going to fire Frost this year, but like,
you're not going to.
In a normal year, if he only won two or three games.
Sure. Well, you'd have to extrapolate it out of how many wins would that be in a normal season. You know, what's the Big Ten playing? 10 games, right? Is that what's on their schedule? I can't remember. Everybody's playing different. It's 10.
Yeah, I think the Big Ten's doing 10.
So 2 wins in a 10-win season, you say that'd be like a 4-win season, or give or take, in a normal year.
That's not good.
That's not good. I imagine that the seat will continue to warm up the worse that they play. And it's not going to go good for them this weekend because Ohio State is going to absolutely murder them. But maybe they can compete with the rest of the Big Ten. Time will tell for Nebraska.
Are you betting Ohio State minus the 27 or 29?
I would bet Ohio State minus whatever the hell that spread is.
You think Nebraska's going to be that bad?
No, I think, I think Nebraska's going to be bad this year, but I also think Ohio State's going to be that good this year. They're returning a ton of talent. Fields is back. Man, they have been pushing to play. Like, Nebraska pushed to play because they just love football. Ohio State pushed to play because they want to win a national championship, and they think they can win a national championship this year, and I think they're going to come out and make a statement this weekend.
Is that in Columbus?
It is in Columbus. Yeah.
And they're having full stadiums? Or
I don't know what the Big Ten's doing, man. I haven't followed that closely. Mm-hmm. So Adrian Martinez named a starter. Last but not least, in college football, we do have some kick times for the Friday games in the Pac-12. There's going to be a lot of Friday games this year, including the normal rivalry weekend, which is Friday, November 27th, the day after Thanksgiving, where you get Stanford, Cal, Washington, Washington State, and Oregon State. All three of those Friday games. We don't know. We mentioned earlier the Oregon State game will either be 12:34 or 7:30. I love how it's all over the map. But we do have one official Oregon kick time, and that is Friday, November 20th, the weekend before that. Their third game of the season will be a Friday night game at home against UCLA, and that will be a 7:30 kick on ESPN.
Let's go, baby.
Get some night games.
Well, Pac-12 after dark. It's back in our lives.
There are none in the opening week of the season that I'm seeing. I think the first one that stands out is the second week on November 13th. You get Utah at UCLA. 7:30 games. UCLA's got a lot of late-night
kicks. Is UCLA going to be surprisingly good this year?
I don't know. They got a quarterback back, so they got that going for them. The other night games that will happen, Washington State will play at USC on December 4th, catch the fever. That will either be a 6:30 or 7:30 kick time, so there you go. And then on December 11th, how about this? You get Arizona State playing at 4:30 on a Friday, so an early Friday kick time. But these are going to continue to trickle out as we get Friday kick times, and we'll wait to see what time Oregon and Oregon State play. But to the earlier point, I don't think it matters to anybody because you're not going to the game. So what the hell? You can play them in the middle of the night. I don't give a crap.
That's why I said what I said about 9 a.m. kick.
Play them whenever, man.
I'm not playing and I'm not going. So
I'm going to be sitting at home watching these games. Doesn't matter to me.
We'll
be in
sweatpants and 30-degree weather with a 9 a.m. kick.
I'm dialed in, man.
Yes, please.
Opening up an IPA right early in the morning for a 9 a.m. game. Hell yeah. So there you go. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in college football. Florida's still got a bunch of players that are testing positive and in quarantine. The Mountain West has had to cancel a couple of games. Nebraska named a starting quarterback. And Friday night kick time's coming out for the Pac-12 as we get closer and closer. The Big Ten officially begins this week, and the Pac-12 is 2 weeks on their heels. Let's get to the mail sack. Get your questions in. 503-250-1080 is the Fan text line. Sports or non-sports related, we will answer them coming up next on The Fan. We'll get back into the World Series coming up here in a bit. Joe Buck's got a crazy schedule. We'll get to that as well.
Seven games in 7 days or something
nuts,
like that.
Man. Yeah, starting on Sunday. So we'll go over what he's calling in the coming days and what his last couple of days have looked like. But before we do any of that.
Swag, could you do 7-7? You do 3 LSI games and you're like, I want to go back.
That's a lot. Well, he at least only has to do one game per day. Joe Buck, that is.
It's also television. So if you, I mean, when the game's going, you're laying out, you don't have to provide
more.
All of it. So
yeah, I guess that's true because you're basically painting the picture with your words.
You gotta paint that picture, man.
Yeah,
and plus, minds. I mean, he's got a lot of times those LSI games I'm doing all by myself, so
all day.
Yeah. I did one game one time with Swigard. They asked me to go out and help, and I was like, really? You want me to go out and help? Sure, okay. And I remember I tried to talk early on, and I was like, you know what? Swag's kind of in a rhythm. And then I realized that they had a free food station set up over on the side, and I went and got a plate of food, and I think I turned my microphone up in like the second quarter, and I just ate a plate of food.
There you go.
And I enjoyed it great. It was one of the Nathan Hale games. Brandon Roy was there. It was great.
Oh, man.
They had like lasagna and big trays. It was delicious.
Yeah, I've had that moment too.
All right, that's good. Like, yeah, all right.
Like, do I talk?
You got this right, Swag.
So I got me to talk right now? Or?
Yeah, it's a good shot. Okay, I'm going to go back to eating my food now. all right, let's get to the mail sack. 503-250-1080. You can send them in. Sports or non-sports related. Mail sack. We got some good ones today.
Okay.
We're going, today I'm getting more of a quality over quantity vibe.
Oh.
So I'm kind of liking this.
I'm really big on to quality over quantity.
We'll start with this one, and this can be a looming topic, I'm sure, next week. Mail sack. With all that's going on now and what has been said, are you guys celebrating Halloween this year? If not, what are you going to do?
Well, I never celebrate Halloween, so this year won't be any different than otherwise.
What about, like, kid years?
When he was into it, I would go, out with him to trick or treat. But there's no pumpkins at the house. It's Halloween is at the bottom of the holiday.
A Swigard holiday celebration. Yeah,
I don't do much for Halloween. I don't have kids. Spoiler. No. So Halloween for me last year it was noteworthy because we had a person on our block get arrested. And there was like a whole thing going down, and the wife and I were like peering through the blinds, like just being that neighbor, like totally spying on what was happening.
Neighbor, by the way?
Right? We're like drinking wine, like, oh my God, I wonder what he did. So that was the only noteworthy thing for me.
That is the whitest thing I've ever heard you
totally,
say.
Right? Can you believe this? This is pretty crazy. Huh?
Opening our blind. Yeah. We're drinking wine going, what did he do?
Right. You make sure all the doors are locked, right? I don't really plan on doing much. Although my nieces and nephew are now here, so I'm sure we'll do some form of thing with them.
Yeah, you got to have the special giant candy bar for those guys when they come by.
Get them a big candy.
Yeah, I don't know what the neighborhood protocol is going to be, although I feel like I get a good read on my neighbors, and there's going to be certain people that I just know they're going to be trick-or-treating and ding-dong, knock-knock. Sure. We will not be there. The Halloween holiday is probably the wife's favorite. It is the opposite of Swigard.
She's big into Halloween.
Big into Halloween. Decorated a little thing. Went to a pumpkin patch last weekend, although we didn't actually go in the pumpkin patch because there were way too many people there, and none of them were wearing.
Yeah.
So we just went and grabbed a couple right by the farm grocery store, and we carved it. We're not going to trick or treat.
Well, you already carved. That's an early carving. Aren't you supposed to wait till a couple days before?
We like to be about a week out.
Okay.
And not going to trick or treat probably, but we have a ton of candy from family members, like bags. The wife is doing a haunted house at her sister's house. And it's just going to be the usual gang that's been hanging out the whole COVID time. And
there you go.
It's like a bit of a haunted house mixed with like clues.
Ah, okay.
Like little clues.
Like a murder mystery.
Kind of like a an escape room.
Ah. Well, that takes some creativity to plan.
The wife's into it, man.
She's into it.
Yeah, she's in the whole thing.
That's a good way to do it. I'm on board with that. A
lot of role playing in the Sprague house in October.
Hey, a lot
especially
of witch.
With blonde hair.
Yeah. A lot of Draco Malfoy scenes. A
lot of Draco. Turns out she was a big Draco fan.
You know, everybody's got their fantasies. Yeah, you want to capitalize on the Halloween being on a Saturday night while also understanding that, I think we canceled Halloween this year. So it's like kind of a in-betweener. I'm sure I'm just going to do a lot of drinking at the house.
Yeah, just get the kids some candy. Let them do something fun and then probably put on a movie and call it good. They'll be okay.
Sticking with the Halloween theme. So Swigard's going to love this. Mail sack question. I will get to that one next. This is a Halloween question. Since we are in Halloween season, what is your favorite horror movie or horror movie series? Am I saying that right? Horror.
Horror. Yeah.
I also like the horror movies too. Those are good.
I don't know.
Controversial statement. I'm not really big into scary movies because I can't.
They scare you.
No, I can't suspend belief. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, I'm more into like the psychological, like a Get Out. I'd rather watch something like that than like, Friday the 13th. Can't die. He's gonna come kill you. I don't know.
Those ones don't ever really like. Freddy Krueger never scared me.
They just don't do it for me.
Child's Play didn't scare me.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been fond of this, and I'm probably gonna get laughed at. I kind of have a tie at the top. I think the very first Saw movie was insanely well written.
Yes, I'm with you. That was a new spin on it.
Gruesome, but a psychological twist.
Sure.
And I also think The Ring was really well done.
A long time since I've seen The Ring.
She comes out of the TV. That was one of the more frightening thrillers that I've seen. I'm not in on the traditional horror movie. And also, Nightmare Before Christmas is always a nice family one that I will never get tired of watching that.
You got one, Swagger? You got anyone to stand out? Yeah.
No, I always thought Poltergeist was pretty well done. It's held up over time.
That's a good one.
Not easy for scary movies to hold on.
No. And the scariest movie I ever saw was called The Serpent and the Rainbow, and it was about some cult with voodoo in Haiti. Ooh. And it was...
I hate voodoo.
That was spooky.
It was not your typical, hack and slash,
sure,
gore, whatever.
Dude, voodoo movies are frightening.
It was freaky.
Yeah.
I prefer scary movies like that than the... Okay, here's one. Mail sack question. If there was an app that allowed you to block all political commercials on your TV during the election season, how much would you pay for it? Now, let me say this. I don't mind. For the most part, it's just kind of like whatever. I don't pay that close attention to commercials anyways. The ones that do bother me are when I get nonstop political commercials for elections that I can't vote in. Like, I have gotten, I can't tell you how many commercials I've seen for the congressional district in, like, Southwest Washington. Is it, like, Herrera Butler versus
dude, and somebody else? She's always ending with, she's with, are you voting for, I am.
I can't, like,
and I'm like, I don't even know who these people are.
I don't live in Washington. Stop showing me that ad. I don't care who wins that election. Like, that's one. We need to get to the point technologically where we can geofence those into, like, your districts.
I think they try to do it in hopes that people that live there are visiting in Oregon, and they're like, hey, down there. Let's try to get it in their
place
heads.
Placing some sports wagers, and while you're there, they're going to show you a political.
I deal with it. I'm not paying squat to stop a commercial. I can deal with a Biden or Trump commercial. It's 30 seconds of my life. And like you, I largely get up and don't pay attention much to commercials anyway.
Outside of sports, is there anything on TV that you still watch commercials in? Because sports, you'll kind of stick around a game, but everything
maybe
else I watch is DVR.
Like
Netflix.
If I have the news on. And just, yeah. I'm waiting, I don't know what, for a story or the weather report, sure. Or whatever. I'm usually doing, I'm on the computer or I'm cooking or something like that. So I'll just leave it there.
Well, it's almost over, folks. We got 2 more weeks. Well, yeah, I wouldn't pay for that. But I would
really
like,
think it's almost over.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. I would prefer to not see ones that I can't even vote in because that's just annoying. How about this? Mail sack question. Your college football team wins the national championship.
That'd probably be your worst nightmare.
Good premise. But you can only eat hot dogs for the next 6 months. Do you take the deal?
Yes.
Only
you
hot dogs.
You want Puget Sound to win that bad?
No. The Beavs.
For an Oregon State title, you would eat nothing but hot dogs for 6 months.
Well, as long as I can make sure, you know, they're completely 100% natural.
Oh, yeah.
Hot dogs.
What does that mean? Natural butthole in your hot dog? Like, what does that even mean, natural hot dog?
You can't go turkey dogs. Going traditional hot dogs.
100% kosher beef dogs. Sign me up.
That's the only meal?
How long until you would run out? Like, not run out, but just get tired of... Would it take a week?
One day.
See, I eat hot dogs.
I get the nasty burps, and I don't eat hot dog for a while.
I could ride on hot dogs for like a couple of weeks.
So it's the only meal.
Yeah, only meal.
For 6 months?
I can prepare them in any fashion I wish, right?
So you can eat them with other
or
things?
Or I'm just eating a bun and a
wiener. I'm just reading the question.
How are you interpreting?
I'm saying, like, it's not like mixing hot dogs in with something else, but you don't always have to have a bun. Sometimes you could barbecue them. Sometimes you could, you know, do them on a stove.
That is horrible. That is a horrible, horrible scenario.
You take the deal.
Give me a Beavs national champion.
I can make the hot dog omelet for breakfast. And
see, I don't know. The listener will have to clarify how much can you add to the meal. If you can add to the meal, then this is an absolute no-brainer.
In all seriousness.
Like hot dogs mixed with other things. That's no, but you just have to incorporate hot dogs in every meal. That's easy to do.
What would it do to the psyche of Duck fan if the Beavers won a title first?
It wouldn't be good, Bob. It wouldn't be good. I'll tell you that much.
Not great, Bob.
Not great. I would take this deal, though. You know, hot dogs are good, man.
You might not have to, though. Like, team like yours, you might not have to.
Well, you know, they've been there twice and didn't end up well. Okay, P1 Adam asks, what is your perfect fall-winter football game day food and beer combo? Mine would be cooler full of Coors Light and wings, meatballs, and guacamole with chips. So what is the go-to fall-winter football game meal? I think number one on my list would probably be chili.
Was that really a meal? It sounded like a bunch of meals.
There's a lot going on there. I like going smorgasbord for football meals, like having little wings, chips and dip.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of mix it around a little bit.
Well, let's see. We had, what did I do Sunday? We had people out on the front porch. I did pulled pork. We did a cumin lime slaw. We did, the neighbors brought the cheesy potato casserole, you know, chips and we had veggies and like artichoke spinach dip, shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, I'm going to go a beer. I'm going to go something light. I'm going to go real traditional here, Bob. Miller Lite with the Doritos or Crunchy Cheetos option, either or, I'm happy. And I'm gonna have to go real traditional American here. I love wings. I love meatballs. I love chili. I don't know if it gets better than when I get to eat like 8 pieces of pizza.
Pizza's a good, easy go-to.
That's a great day for me because I get to eat it.
And you don't have to prepare it.
I don't have to prepare it. And then I get to go up an hour and a half later, even though I'm not there. Really hungry, and grab another slice.
See, that's the one benefit that wings have for me in that regard, too. I can eat cold. You can leave the wings out to me all day, and I'll eat them like 12 hours later.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Cold wings, don't have to eat them up. Wings are always good.
No, right. I'd probably go. I'd probably make my chili, do the smoked chicken wings, and then probably some version of a nacho dip, a queso or something.
Ooh. Ooh. Football tacos?
And then
a little hot dog butthole. Let's go.
And then
let's go, baby.
I don't know. You probably want something that's a little more malty with that. Maybe maybe like a Vertigo Schwindel Alt. Maybe might set everything off.
Okay.
Get those IPA things.
This is getting me really hungry.
Out of here.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't eat enough food today. Okay, we got a couple of leftover sack questions. I thought it was good. It was good quality today.
Yeah.
Not a lot of random ones. I like those. I like the line of thinking.
Are you carrying
today.
Over? Or are you holding?
We got one or two carryovers.
Okay.
That I'll get to on the other side.
Also, America's team no longer America's team.
Oh.
This is official.
Oh.
And this.
Have they been? They've been replaced.
Oh, they've been replaced.
They've been taken off the list.
The one time we'll talk about TV ratings on this show.
Oh, I just saw that tweet. Okay, we'll get to that coming up next. Also, I will add, because the World Series starts tonight, there was some decent news for baseball and some awful news for baseball.
Okay.
So we'll get to both of those. And Joe Buck's got a crazy week. A lot to get to in the next half hour. Welcome back in 2:35. All right, we got to turn and burn on these last two questions because there's a few things I want to get to. Listener looking for some help. Mail sack question. I live in Salem, which is a dumpster fire. I got a job opportunity in Madison, Wisconsin. Do I go?
Oh, I've actually heard. I heard great things from a few different Beavs fans from that went to that game against Wisconsin years ago.
Uh-huh.
I can't really speak to it. I don't know if. I hate to say this because this is a big deal for some. If politics aren't a big deal for you and you're okay being around people who might have different views in a certain regard. I've heard good things. And I have a cousin. She married a guy from Wisconsin, and his whole family came up for that wedding. And they said Madison's one of their favorite towns to go visit.
Good things, man. Yeah, it all depends on the job, how much you're going to get paid, what's the added bonus for taking that job, that kind of stuff.
Cost of living, I'd imagine, is better than Oregon.
In Salem? Is it expensive to live in Salem?
Salem's still a little up there to me. Yeah,
and it depends, you know, how much your friends and family situation, all that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
that's important, too.
But, yeah, I mean, I've heard good things about Madison, Wisconsin. And then last but not least, your team in any sports win a championship, so you can pick one of your teams to win a title.
Mm.
But the price you pay is that you lose the all control of the remote to a year to your significant other. For a year to your significant other. So mid-game, you could be watching an epic fourth quarter and she's allowed to grab the remote and change it to say yes to the dress. Do you take that?
Yeah, because I got a cell phone and a computer.
Okay.
I feel like you're not playing the game by doing
that. I mean, no, that's a valid argument, though. There are ways
to... No, come on. That's not... That person means you just lose the TV? Because if he does, then yeah, I'm playing that game every time. Yeah, I watch it on my laptop.
You just watch it. You would sacrifice never being able to watch a game on the big screen with the surround sound. She could just change it anytime she wants. You'd have to watch, like, Game 5 Blazers Western Conference Finals on your phone.
I'd prefer to watch it on my phone or a tablet.
Really?
Yeah.
Big screen TV?
Just me?
With surround sound?
I don't really care about surround sound.
Oh, okay. Well, I like the ambiance, the atmosphere.
Oh.
It's very nice.
How loud is your house when you watch
turn
sports?
Turn it on, man. Turn it up. I got one of those big Bose sound bars. Blare that thing.
I cannot wait for you to have kids.
70-inch TV?
Surround sound ain't existing once you have smudge.
This is how sports are supposed to
You're
be.
You're going to have that stuff on offer up in a week.
All right. We got some good news in the NFL, and that is that the Cowboys are no longer America's team because more people yesterday watched the Chiefs and the Bills than did the Cards and the Cowboys.
How about that? We all bitched up. Well, I didn't bitch, but people were complaining like, oh, it's too early. People are going to watch. More people watched that game than they did the Dallas game.
It's a 5:15 kick in the East Coast.
It's also a far better game.
Far better matchup. And then once Zeke put it on the turf twice and
that game was over.
Arizona early. Started dialing up the offense. There was no reason to watch in the second half.
The official numbers, 12.1 million watched the Chiefs and Bills game. 11.3 million watched Cards and Cowboys. Yeah.
No, I think if you're looking for who the current America's team is.
It's the Chiefs, man.
It's the Chiefs.
Did you see, not that I care about what the ratings were. I think that's a funny story. In Kansas City, they got a 44.
Yeah.
Who in Kansas City is not watching the Chiefs right now? They just won the damn Super Bowl.
There's like 20% of houses not watching.
Like, what are they doing? What's going on in those houses?
They hate sports. You're either not a sports fan, just sports is oblivious.
How do you not get roped into a Super Bowl, though? Like, I get that not watching a random game.
Well, I'm sure they watch the Super Bowl, but I think there's... We forget because we're in it. Just how many people are out there that sports, they're just oblivious to.
Doesn't even show up on their radar. On the ratings trend, the World Series starts tonight, Dodgers and Rays. There is some really good news for baseball and some really bad news for baseball, which I think begs the question, how is this going to play out in the World Series? Do you want to start with the good news or the bad news?
Give me the bad news first.
Okay. The bad news first is that the ALCS averaged 2.7 million viewers.
Well, part of that has to do with the fact it was on TBS and not on any network.
Very true. That is an all-time record low by more than a half a million viewers.
And they had more day games than the NLCS.
The previous low in the ALCS was the 2016 ALCS. And to prove the point, I want to ask both of you, because there's no way in hell I would have remembered this. The Indians won the ALCS in 2016. Remember, they went and lost to the Cubs in the World Series.
It's a great series.
Who did the Indians beat in the ALCS in 2016?
2016.
Because this was the previous low, which averaged 3.3 million. This year's ALCS averaged 2.7 million.
Was it Kansas City?
It was not Kansas City. I would have never guessed this. Now that I envision it, I can remember it. But if you would have asked me off the cuff who they play.
The Blue Jays?
It was the Toronto Blue Jays. They beat the Toronto Blue Jays.
Was that when Bautista had his big bat flip?
Yes.
Yeah, against the Rangers in the first round or whatever.
Great
moment. They beat the Blue Jays. So no wonder nobody watched, because it took us forever to remember who even played in that series. So there's your bad news. Nobody watched the ALCS. The good news is that Game 7 of the NLCS between the Braves and the Dodgers, which went head-to-head against Sunday Night Baseball, Sunday Night Football, had a season high 9.6 million, almost 10 million people watched Game 7 between the Braves and the Dodgers.
Well, it's because it was on Fox and you had the Packers-Buccaneers leading into it.
And it was also significantly more entertaining than the Niner-Ram game.
It was a very good game. There's no doubt about that. So I think part of this is that, I mean, the Braves are a good fixture across the country. There's a lot of people like you, Sprague, that grew up TBS games over the years, right? There's a lot of Braves fans. The Dodgers, of course, one of the more recognizable teams. So what side of that equation wins out? Because I would argue the problem in the ALCS is the Rays just aren't a draw, and the Dodgers are a draw. So do we see a highly rated World Series or a low?
Well, I think you're going to see a higher rated one. The Dodgers helps. It's on Fox. Mm-hmm. But also the fact there's no hockey, there's no basketball, there's nothing else.
So the tough part with that, because I'm with you on that, the tough part is you do have games, so they'll get tonight and tomorrow standalone. Thursday, I'm glad, is an off day because you got the NFL and a presidential
Saturday
debate.
And Sunday will be
Saturday
interesting, but if you build, they'll play later. I think everything's a 5:08
first
pitch.
Yeah, they'll all be late
starts. So
I'm going to go lower.
You think a lower rate of World Series just because of Tampa?
Yeah, I hate to say that. They're a great team, and I wish people would give them more respect, but I think because of Tampa, it's going to be a lower rated. I think the Dodgers have good support, but only in pockets. California, Portland, maybe Seattle, because all those people have moved up here. Maybe some other parts of the country like New York, because they're also a high payroll franchise. I think Tampa's going to bring that down a little bit.
I think the numbers will be up over the last few years.
You're also dealing with a presidential election, which is always harmful to
debates
sports
debates on
ratings.
Thursday when it's an off day.
That helps a lot. And on that note, Joe Buck, of course, going to be calling the World Series for Fox. His week is pretty crazy. So I saw this tweeted out by Fox Sports. So he called the Packer-Tampa game on Sunday. Then he flew directly to Buffalo and called the Chiefs and the Bills game yesterday, because that was a Fox game. From Buffalo, he has since flown to Dallas, where the World Series is being played. So he calls Game 1 of the World Series today, Game 2 of the World Series tomorrow. After calling Game 2 of the World Series, he flies to Philly to call Thursday Night Football between the Giants and the Eagles, and then flies back to Dallas on Friday and Saturday to call Game 3 and Game 4 of the World Series. And then I'm assuming if it's a sweep, he'll go back to calling an NFL game on Sunday. And if not, he'll call Game 5 of the World Series. But how about that week for Joe Buck, man? Guy makes a lot of money, but that's pretty crazy to call 7 major sporting events in 7 days.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. I think the benefit, I think he does a lot of hard work. But you also have to remember, when you work for networks like that,
there's a huge production crew behind the scenes.
That staff of team of people putting together everything you need to know about all those players. Like, he's going to come in and talk about the Rays bullpen. And while I think he actually spends his free time traveling, like reading up, he's also going to be handed a ton of like little tidbit notes, and he's going to,
yeah, there's all sorts of
write them out
stat
and
packs
say
and that. But if you saw every once in a while, they showed him and Smoltz up in the booth. He had a whole spiral notebook because they made fun of it. Because like Smoltz was had a little 3x5 card. He was making some stuff on.
Smoltz was keeping his own scorecard.
His scorecard. Yeah. But Buck had, he had spiral notebooks that he was making notes and referring back to and all right. that stuff from the production meeting. So
yeah, it's he does a great job with this. That's it's pretty tremendous to be able to do that for a week. He would get Monday of next week off. And then if there's a game 6 and game 7, he would work Tuesday.
Assuming there's no more COVID cancellations of a game he was supposed to be on for the NFL.
Yeah, but okay. I think this is a really impressive feat. He's pretty close to just getting one day of work a week.
Yes, once a base. Yeah, it's that pocket where you got to do it a lot. Like I think Nance has that with the tournament. You got the Masters kind of mixed in that similar calendar. Like you get some of those kind of.
The tough part is just keeping your. The tough part is keeping your energy up. Travel just drains you.
Yeah, to go from
city
to city to city. And even
though he is the most, he's flying charters and has the most pampered travel situation of anybody, it's still draining for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It just is.
So Joe Buck calling the Packers Bucks on Sunday. He called the Chiefs Bills game yesterday and then the World Series before Thursday Night Football Thursday and then back to the World Series. Busy week for him. We'll give you our final thoughts on the World Series, which begins tonight. We got a poll question on that. How excited are you for the series? 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. So we'll get to that coming up next. We got some other poll questions to answer as we wrap up a Tuesday next on The Fan.
Yeah, well, it's late in the evening.
Welcome back in 248. Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. Really cool video from Big John today congratulating Big Sue on being in the 52 Club in Madden. If you haven't seen those on the socials, go check them out. It's all over Twitter. Great idea. Giving him the 52 placard. Congrats on being in the 52 club. Madden, that was fun. I'm sure they'll have some fun with that coming up this afternoon. World Series begins tonight. Game one between Tampa and L.A. And some folks are all over the board. You know, we asked, how excited are you for the World Series? I mean, so my pants were tight watching Houston in L.A. Now it's probably just on a scale of 4.
Yeah,
one out of 10.
We needed the villain or the slight Houston Astro fan contingent that exists to see their hated team in the World Series.
Yeah, you don't quite have that. I do wonder how much more the excitement would have been with Houston and L.A., although I would argue that the Tampa-L.A. series is going to be a much better series.
It's going to be much better baseball.
Yeah, because Houston's rotation would have just been eaten alive by L.A.'s lineup.
Houston's defense was slacking at
Well,
points.
Do you think the Dodgers pitching staff would have been able to stop the Astros lineup?
I don't think they would have been able to slow them down to a certain extent.
Did you conclude or agree with Matt Money Smith Swigard? There's something that you kind of lose a little bit. Not that you win their first World Series since '88, you're going to be ecstatic, but to be able to beat the Houston Astros.
Oh no! If you were able to do it and it was the Astros, there would certainly be a higher level of satisfaction and F you to them as you're holding up the commissioner's trophy.
Would you be willing to take the risk though of losing again to Houston?
Oh, man.
Because if Houston would have won the World Series this year, the argument would have fallen on some deaf ears.
That would have been more devastating.
Right? Because they would have said, tell us we cheated.
If the Dodgers lose to Tampa and they, you know, Tampa's pitching staff comes in out there, rolls on them, maybe the two best defensive clubs in the playoffs too. I mean, it's not. I think everybody believes it's going to be a long series of some, you know, fashion. So,
yeah, you think the Dodgers are going to roll them?
I think Dodgers in 5, yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be devastating one way or the other.
Yeah, losing the World Series
but,
sucks.
Yeah, it would be hard to stomach losing to the Astros again.
We asked a poll question today. How excited are you for the World Series? 34% say they're not going to watch, and 34% say, I'll watch. But
You're really not going to watch the World Series? You just hate baseball.
They're just
that
not
much.
Baseball fans.
Yeah, you're not a baseball fan, whatever. But, we always have a few listeners that say, I'm ready for the World Series to be done. I'm tired
I would argue over the next 2 days, what if you're a sports fan, what else are you watching?
Yeah, well, you got to go home and watch the news?
Ugh.
No thanks on that.
I'll go ahead. Politics right now.
I'll watch Kershaw versus Glasnow any day of the week. 12% of you say you're pumped that you can't wait for the series to begin, and then 18% said pretty excited. I think a lot of times too in series, especially with a team like Tampa, that momentum can build as the series goes on, that you can see the ratings get better as it goes. And if you get a good back and forth, you know, Kershaw blows up tonight, then the Dodgers win tomorrow. And then, like, if you get one of those series that kind of goes back and forth, I think it will build and you won't have that same sentiment by game six where it's like, yeah, I don't really care. But if you get one where, yeah, a team comes out and wins the first two games in dominant fashion, I'm sure a lot of that interest will go away. Late inning,
sure, you know, if it's tight and you get some big home runs or something like that.
No doubt about it. So the World Series starts. We'll make a final pick on that one here coming up in a moment. The other poll question we had today, we asked again in a follow-up from yesterday, who's going to win the NFC East? Because there is now a game on Thursday Night Football between Philly and New York that is either going to crown a leader in the division or have a tie atop the division, depending on who wins. If Philly wins, they're in sole possession of first place.
I think they're going to win the division, too. I said Dallas yesterday, and I thought about that. And I'm like, well, Philly's at least playing tough and close to some good teams.
They're hanging in there.
They beat the Niners.
2-4-1 would put them atop the division. If the Giants are to win Thursday Night Football, they'd be a tied atop the division at 2-5. The listener said the Eagles will win at 57%. 29% of the Cowboys. We do this every a couple of years. I wonder if there's a segment tomorrow where you can get into, because I've seen a couple articles start to come out here in the last few days saying, is this finally the year that gets the NFL to address this kind of dumb, archaic rule?
That if you win your division, you get automatic home game?
Automatic into the playoffs and automatic home game?
Yeah, because it's entirely possible somebody's going to win seven games in that division.
Dude, I wouldn't
six
be shocked
games.
If it's worse. What if it's a 5-win team and they host a playoff game?
Well, you can't do that because you're splitting your division, so wouldn't you just, like, you if the Eagles are already at one game.
You could have a 6-10.
6-10, I think, is the worst you could be, right? If you're splitting?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if
it depends on what you do in the rest of your schedule.
Yeah. But, yeah, 6-10 to the point
in theory, you'd
bad.
Have to go, you probably would need to go 4-2 in division and then...
I could see him being 3-3 at best.
Right, exactly.
That division's awful.
It depends on what you do against everybody else that's still on your schedule. So yeah. I think there's something there of just like, I hope this is the year. If it ends up being that bad and you don't get one of these teams that figures it out and goes, 9-7 on the year, all of a sudden turns it around, which isn't going to happen with any of them, that you would change that rule because it's past time that's happened. Dolphins naming two of the starter. 63% of you disagree with the move. That was interesting.
But the funny thing is that we disagree with the move, and yet none of us work in the NFL. Maybe they know what they're doing.
Let's
wait and see.
He's having a good start to his career. No doubt about that. And then last one, where does Josh Allen rank amongst NFL quarterbacks?
Ooh, this is an interesting one.
43% say he's just outside the top 10. 34% say top 10. 1% say he's a top fiver. And then 20% of you say nowhere near the top 10.
I'd have to go through and really hammer down who I think the top 10 are. I mean, there was no doubt the first couple he'd be in there, but I don't know if you bump him, but those last 2 weeks have been god-awful showings.
One other thing to keep an eye on, there's a big announcement coming up here in about 5-6 minutes on one of the top wide receivers in the country, Dante Thornton. Some people think he might commit to Oregon, so keep an eye on that.
Oh.
And then game one of the World Series tonight. Dodgers and Rays over on 910 ESPN Portland. Kershaw versus Glasnow. Do we get a Kershaw meltdown or does Kershaw help out his reputation?
Kershaw goes 5 innings, gives up 1 run.
Okay, and then they get him out of there?
And they get him out of there.
They go straight to the bullpen?
He ain't going deeper than 5.
Yeah, I think Kershaw is solid. I think the Dodgers are going to get some runs early, and I like them tonight in game one.
Okay, I'll take the rest. There you go. Game one of the World Series tonight. Enjoy it. If you've missed any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.